Tonight we're going to discuss a very, very negedic shaila. Comes up more often than we think about the halachas of paying workers on time and the chesreinus and the downfalls that could happen when a person doesn't pay his workers on time. The Torah gives unbelievable amounts of value to people's money. We know that in the Torah there's prohibitions of stealing, leisigna, leisigzol. We know how exactly we know it. We know there's a concept of mazik, not to damage people's property. But likewise, there's a very important focus of the Torah about how to pay one's worker. Besides, there's a separate prohibition in the Torah of not paying someone you owe money to. That we're not going to discuss tonight. Tonight we're not going to discuss the person who doesn't pay his workers. You pay your worker, but you pay the worker when you want to pay the worker. So you'll say, listen, at least I'm paying him. I'm not a loy sashik. I'm not holding back the payment. That's not correct, as we're going to see tonight, that the Torah, this is not even Midrabban, this is the Torah talking. The Torah is very particular and very detailed at how exactly a person should pay his worker. So we find in the first place in the Torah where it discusses the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. The Torah writes, Lois Sigzol, that we're all familiar with, don't steal. Lois Salin Pula Sachir Itcha Adboikin. Don't hold up the payment of your worker with you until the morning. There's a lav. A lav day writes it to hold back payment of a worker until the morning. This is one source in the Torah where the Torah gives it a clear prohibition on it's not a chumrah, it's not a minhag, it's a lav day raisa not to pay your workers on time. There's another pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze, where the Torah goes even more. The Torah writes, "B'yoymai titein tzcharei." You should pay your worker on the day. B'yoymai, during the day, titein tzcharei, he should get his payment. This is an asay. Paying your workers on time is not only that if you don't pay them on time, you're over, as we'll see, two lavin. There's a positive mitzvah deraisa to pay your workers on time. B'yoymai titein tzcharei. V'loy savei olav hashemesh. Ki onihu, because he's poor. Ve'ilavu noises nafshi, he's depending upon you. When a person signs up to do a job, he's counting that he's going to get paid. Ve'yikra alecha al Hashem, so he shouldn't have to call to Hashem, v'hayi b'chalcheit, then you will get an aver. See, the Torah is putting a little fear in us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold you accountable because this fellow worked for you, and he spent time, and now he's expecting money. You tell him, I'm sorry, I don't have any money. It's not going to be good, says the Torah. Ve'yikra alecha al Hashem, v'hayi b'chalcheit. So from these two psukim in the Torah, we learn that there's two lavin involved in not paying workers on time. One lav is loisal and pula selcha itchad boiker. And the other lav is loisal v'alav hashemesh. And there's an asay called b'yoyma titein tzcharis. If a person does not pay up his worker in the allotted time that he has, which we'll have to talk about when that is exactly, he's over possibly two lavin d'araisa and a bit alasay. There's just an interesting balaturim in Parashat Kedoshim. I put down over number three. The balaturim writes...
Is it an asay and a say?
Yeah.
Both?
Yeah. Every time,
no?
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, it might depend on what time of the work he's doing it, day or night. But a person can technically be over alive and not say every single time he doesn't pay his workers on time. The Baal Turim writes by Shkodeshin that right next to the prohibition of paying workers late, it writes Loise Kalal Chavish. Don't curse people. So Baal Turim has a nice word over here. He writes V'samachli Loise Kalal Ki Afim Yolin Tzchorcha Al Tekalu. Don't think, well, this guy's a real jerk. He's not paying me, so I can curse him. I can do whatever I want. Says the Baal Turim, no, still, El Tetvu B'Bezdin. You don't have the right to curse him, you don't have the right to beat him up, but you can take him to Bezdin. We did have a shiur here a few months ago about taking matters into your own hands. That's a discussion, when you are and when you're not allowed to do that. But nonetheless, says the Baal Turim, although you're completely in the right, he has no permission whatsoever not to pay you, it does not give you permission to slash his tires, to curse him, to say bad things about him, that you're not allowed to do. Okay, so it's clear from the Torah that this is a very serious prohibition. The Tshuva Sivan Hagas from Moshe Shtermich wrote extensively on this, and I must admit, I had a hard time preparing for this year. Not as many Achrayim I thought talk about this, or at least Hope talked about this, that I was able to find, and I have an Oitzer Chachma program. But the Moshe Shtermich writes extensively on this in both Chelek Gimel and Chelek Aleph. So he quotes from a Zayah. This Zayah is brought down by the Mishnah Berurah. I shouldn't say that Mishnah Berurah wrote extensively on it. He wrote a whole chapter in a sefer called Avas Chesed. Mishnah Berurah wrote a whole sefer where he talks about Mominus-related issues. And in his introduction, which we'll get to in a few minutes, he also references the Zohar. But Rav Moshe Shtermich quotes a very, very important thing from the Zohar. The Zohar HaKadosh writes in Parashas Kedoshim, number 4, Sheha'oiver al iser zeh b'mayit yom av rachmona tzlan. If a person is not makbin on Baal Eloi Solon, it could take away years of his life. It's not a good investment. Not paying your workers on time, not only is a breach in the Torah, it's not healthy for a person's longevity of life. Therefore says the Zohar HaKadosh, it's a bad idea. Okay. Yes, we're going to have to see what a sachir is, and we're going to have to learn what exactly is the time to know to when you transgress this is. So as I mentioned earlier, the Chofetz Chaim wrote a sefer called Avas Chesed. In the sefer Avas Chesed, he deals predominantly with mominus-related issues. In that sefer, he has an entire chapter, Perek Tes, devoted to the Isser of Loi Salim. So as I mentioned many times, it's always worthwhile to read the Hagdama to Svarim. You find interesting things. So I was going through the Hagdama. He explains, why did he name his sefer Avas Chesed? Why was that the name of the sefer? So he says, there's a pasuk. Pasuk in Navi. It says, Higilucha Adam Atoiv, Uma Hashem Dairish Mimcha, Mishpat, Vavas Chesed. Says the Chavetz Chaim, I'm writing a whole sefer about Mishpat. But what's right in Choshe Mishpat? What's right in Mamanis? So he said, I'm going to name the sefer Avas Chesed. He wrote a commentary on the bottom of the sefer called Nesiv Chesed. He writes in the introduction also, this means I'm explaining to where I got everything from. Like we have by Mishnah Berurah and Sharet Tzion. There the Mishnah Berurah is the facts, and the Sharet Tzion is the Maamar Mekayim. So here also, in this Sefer on Chesed Mishpat, the top of it is called Avas Chesed, and the explanation is in the Nesiv Chesed. So it is an introduction to Perek Tes. I know it looks like a lot of information over here, but I thought it was very worthwhile to go through it. He writes the following statement. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I felt it compelling, says the Mishnah Berurah, to write on this topic. Why? It's very important. There are many serious prohibitions that are in the Torah. Many people are not careful. And they delay payment for any little reason in the world. They're too lazy to go get the money. Person that owns some of money and he says, okay, pay me up. He says, well, I don't have any cash on me. There's ATM machines all around, which we'll have to talk about. What happens are you mechuyev to go to an ATM machine and have to pay the fee? Now, many of the ATMs, if it's not your own bank, you pay a small fee for withdrawal of cash. Am I mechuyev to have to take that fee to get him cash? We'll have to talk about that. But the Mishnah Berurah says these are very weak excuses. I have to change. I don't have change. Person does a small job and it costs $5. He says, oh, I only have a 10. So I'm sorry, I can't pay you. Says the Mishnah Berurah, and we'll see the Mishnah Berurah paskens l'halacha, you're mechuyev to have to break that change, even if it might cost you money. You have to get exact change to pay the worker. You're obligated. You have to go get change. You have to go get exact change. You got to make sure you have cash in you. This not having cash is not an acceptable excuse, says Mr. Berurah. Even if the worker is wealthy, because what did it say in the Torah? It sounds like because he was poor. So let's say the guy works for you, the guy's loaded. But he still did a job for you. Right? Nonetheless, that's not an excuse because he's wealthy, even though the Torah writes, Ki ani hu, because he's poor, says the Mishnah Berurah, lav dafka, because he's poor. One of the classic examples, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, is going to a doctor. Not paying your doctor bills on time is an issur d'oraisa. So you're telling me the doctors, come on, the guy's making a killing. If he's not an ani, I'm the ani. He should be paying me, right? Right? So says Mishnah Berurah, that doesn't make a difference. Although the Torah used the word ani, it's not an excuse. You still have to pay him on time. He says, Vakoshkin ma poil ani. And more so if the worker happens to be poor. And this is what he's living off of. This is what he's expecting to make for the day. You're not allowed to do it. The guy needs to live. Him and his family. Like the pasuk says. He says, Gamotzi b'avnesenu rabim etzel izal noshim. You find it very popular today. Shahasochir doifik al pascheim laila v'yoyim v'ein shem eloi. The worker comes, he knocks on the doors, he wants to get paid, and no one's listening. Amazing. No one's home. He bangs on the door, he sends emails, he sends phone calls. No one's home, no one wants to hear to collect. Especially if he did a small job. The guy did a small job, and it's a small bill, no one wants to hear from him. When it comes to the Torah, because Baruch Hu doesn't care if it's $1,000 or it's $5. It's money, you have to pay up the chayv. Doesn't matter. He writes, many people, they're very straight people. Ubalimidas toivos. Wonderful people. The sweetest people in the world. Umikaimim shari mitzvah sateri kadasa kaloch. And everything else, they're machmet to the highest level. Right? Very good people. But the mitzvah zosh tashlumi ischar bismanoi. But when it comes to this mitzvah, they're actually paying their workers. Refuya biyodam. That they have trouble with. They're machmet on every chumr you want to name it and whatever. We're not even going to go into all the chumrs of the rabbanon and hogging that. You got it. But paying your workers at the time, they're not machmet. This is the Chavetz Chaim talking. Yeah, the yeshivas have a big problem. We're going to have to get to that tonight. We'll try to be miyashiv it as best as we can. Even though it doesn't even cost them money, just bother. I don't have any cash on me. I don't have my wallet on me. I don't have my checkbook. You know, all these excuses that people give to why they don't pay up their workers, they're not going to hold too much water. Then he goes one step further. This is all in his introduction. Wait till we get to the actual halachas. There's bananti she calls a ball lehem mitzvah miut v'chasson yedib halachas. So the Chafetz Chaim Kedarkei HaKodesh comes to the defense of Klal Yisrael. Why do people? Because they don't know the halachas. They don't learn chayshim mishpat. Because the Mishnah Berurah didn't write a chayshim mishpat, so they don't learn. They only know arachai. They only know what they know. So the Mishnah Berurah says that's why I made it my job to write on these things to educate the world. He says she ilu yodum. It's a preferential pasuk, right? These happen to be, there's about two blot in the Bab Metzia that discuss this extensively, and it's one simon in the Shulchan Aruch, in Chayish Mishpah, simon Shel Lametes, devoted to this topic. But the Mishnah Berurah, again, he's down the Kavs Chos, right? He says, no, it's not because they're bad people, it's because they never learned the halachas, no one ever told it to them. He doesn't say how he knows it. He doesn't say it. It's interesting. He doesn't prove it. He just assumes, Dibra HaTayra Behoive, that's a normal case, but Lav Dafka. And he writes, Shilu yodim zeh, if these people would know these halachas, bevada hayim zarizim l'sham b'zmanam k'dei l'kayim ba'mitzvah saseh b'yom yitidim. He can't imagine anyone would ever pay a worker late. It's a mitzvah d'raisa. How often do you get a chance to do a mitzvah d'raisa? He says, v'gam shalei laver al alavin. You don't want to do lavin. K'moy shekolechem yisrael mizdariz l'kayim shayim mitzvah satarat lo mizman. We're so careful with every other mitzvah that's telling zman. We spent the last 3 weeks learning about zmanim, the sensitivity towards the every minute count. You have to do this and this chum and that with zmanim. K'shayfer, sukkah, luluv, k'yetzeba. Hayim reisi l'echem yisrael. Have you ever seen anyone? Sheyaniyachem levarach ala shayf v'aluluv ad alayla. And we always have a premise, reason, active limits. We never wait till the last minute. Why not? You yoitze the same way you yoitze if you shake lulav at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But we know, Zvizim HaKdim Mitzvah, why do you want to wait? He says, V'adar Rabba, Kolechem Yisrael Makdim Mestatzim L'Kayim HaMitzvah B'Vayikim V'Samayach HaZeh, everyone does mitzvahs right away in the morning. HaZeh Shezoch L'Kayim Mitzvah B'Yis Baruch Kiyin, because they want to do mitzvahs properly. V'ilah B'Mitzvah Zushi Gamke Mitzvah Saseh Deraisa. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this is as important as any other mitzvah deraisa. V'Yisifu HaTer Gam Kem Lavin Binyin Zeh. Not only that, it's not just an Aseh. There's a Lavin involved. He says, "Kama yimiskabra yetsa b'zeh." Can you imagine the Yetzirah is fighting you? That's why people have such a hard time with it, because they don't know the halachas, and the Yetzirah is fighting them. But therefore, says Mishnah Berurah, that's why I spent time writing these halachas, clarifying it, making it clear to people, so they should know what to do.
Okay. When the Torah wasn't even anticipating not paying them for an extended period of time, it seemed to be.
So we're going to learn later today that once you miss the time, you're not over the lav every single day. Let's, for example, you owed someone on the first of the month and you don't pay until the third. You're not over three times. You're over once. We will see this, but there's still a mitzvah derabbanan or an isser derabbanan to delay payment. So the best thing is to get all the payments out right away. This way, you're yotze mitzvah deraisa. Again, it's an easy mitzvah most of the time. You just have to be, take it sensitive and realize it's a big deal. You can be mekayim a mitzvah deraisa, and worst case scenario, you can be over an isser deraisa.
So the machalik between workers and bills.
Meaning, yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second.
Your own regular worker versus you go to the doctor. So he got his money. You got the copay, so I'm not going to pay it today. I'll pay it in a week from now.
We're going to see that doctors are pashas like regular schayrim. They're regular workers. First of all, most of them, they didn't. Why didn't they work for you? They treated you.
No. Is there a difference between a guy who works for you all the time, a full-time
employee? The Shulchan Aruch talks about something called the Sachir Yoim, Sachir Laila, Sachir Chodesh, and Sachir Shois. You can work for me for a day, a month, a year. You can work for me for a few hours. It's whenever the job is over, that's when payment starts, unless otherwise stipulated. Now, most people work, they don't get paid every day. Most people work, they get paid either twice a week, twice a month, or once a month. Then, after that time frame, let's say, for example, you get paid on the second Friday of the month, if you're not paid by the second Friday of the month, that would be a lav of loisal. Now, if I hire you to work for me for 2 hours, at the end of the 2 hours, we'll see that's when the time frame kicks in, you'll only have a few hours later to pay up. That's what we're going to get to in a few minutes, I hope. First, before we get to the Jews and the going, let's talk about kids. Many times people hire kids for jobs. Kids are useful, right? You can hire them, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, you help them. And you say, I'm going to pay you. And you say, I'll pay him when I'm ready. So you figure, what could be so wrong with that? So the Mishnah Berurah paskins in Avas Chesed, number 6, says the Mishnah Berurah, Gam b'katan shesachrei le'eze pu'ula shaykh bo kol adinim. Mishnah Berurah assumes for davar pasha, if you hire a child to do a job, and you make with him, again, obviously if you tell him I'm not paying you, so fine, you're not paying. But if you tell the kid, listen, I'm going to pay you. Come. You do this and this and I'll pay you at whatever it is. You will be over an iser, a lav, and a bitl asay if you don't pay him on time. I remember when I was a kid, me and my brother were both under bar mitzvah. We were hired to help a guy make a shalom zach. We worked like avodim sheba avodim. He promised to pay us. It took weeks until we saw the money. Hamish never saw the money. He finally came around there. He finally paid us. This guy doesn't realize he was over tons of Isurim. He was over two lavim, and an asay. And the Rabbanon also on top of it. That's not right. People think kids don't count. We spoke about this when we learned the Melachas of Shabbos. Kids count a lot for Shabbos. They count a lot for Chayshim Mishpat also. Paschal is Mr. Brew, you're not allowed to take advantage of a child. If you make up with a kid that you're going to pay him, you have to pay. Now, I didn't say you have to be mishabed yourself to the kid. Don't promise him anything. So you'll give him a lollipop. But you got to give him the lollipop at the end of the time, whenever you make up. So we're going to see, well, again, assuming everything was done properly. If there's a dispute on the payment, for example, you feel the job wasn't done right, so that's a different argument. We're going to learn, but the assumption is, if we all agree that the job was done properly, so then the chiyuv starts. We will learn that there are exceptions to when you won't be over the lav. That's if you don't have the money. We'll talk some of those details about, which is what a lot of yeshivas say, yeah, we don't have the money at the end of the month. There's one problem. They do have the money, because they pay everyone else except for the rabbein. They pay their other vendors, and I'm sure they pay the janitors, and they pay their mortgage. So we're going to have to talk about what the Mr. Brew says about not having enough money at the end of the month. Says the Mr. Brew, what about children? So in the Siva Chesed, in the more explanatory explanation, he writes, says the Mr. Brew, I see people using kids for jobs. And they promise the kids, I'm going to pay you for it. You don't give a thing to the kids. Says the Mr. Brew, this is not correct. Not paying wages, even for one prut. If I promise you, whatever prut is, we'll make it probably a lot less than a quarter. If I tell you, I'll give you a quarter if you do this, it's a problem. Again, this is very negate, even today with babysitters. If you're going to hire a babysitter who's under the age of bar bas mitzvah, so you figure, they're kids, I can do whatever I want. That's not true. You run into serious issurim. Now you're not allowed not to pay him, you're not allowed to delay payments. This is very tricky. I always have these issues whenever I take babysitters. I'm always have to make sure you have enough money, because what do you say to the babysitter? You pick up a babysitter at night, so you have to pay them before the next morning. So what happens? You don't have exact change. You don't have enough cash. So you figure, she'll understand, you know what, you'll pay her tomorrow. That's not right. You're going to be mvatal mitzvah sasei deraisa. If you just go to the bank a few hours earlier and have enough cash on you, you can be mekayim a mitzvah sasei deraisa, be a metitin. She could be masking, but you still won't get the mitzvah. You'll lose the mitzvah. So if you want to get a mitzvah and not be over alive, and we'll talk about her maskim is, let's be honest, how maskim is her real maskim? It's 11 o'clock at night, she watched you screaming kids for the last 4 hours, she's been counting on this money, and you tell her, I'm sorry, I'm paying you tomorrow. What's she supposed to say? Sure, no problem. She's saying to herself, I'm never babysitting here again, that's for sure. We're going to talk about, what does it mean to be maskim? How many people are really maskim not to get paid? Very rarely are people maskim not to get paid. They have no choice. So they say, listen, it's either this or nothing. That might not be real haskama, so we have to get to that as well. So clearly says the Mishnah Brewer, kids is a real problem with kids. What about Goyim? So the truth is, I must admit, I had a difficult time researching Goyim as well. I thought more people would talk about it. I listened to a shifra by Leibowitz, which he quotes two sources, a Rambam and a Sefer HaChinuch, which we'll quote as well. And he thinks it's a Davar Pasha that Goyim have the same thing. You hire a bunch of non-Jews to work for you, you better pay them on time. If not, you're over the lav of B'yomai, and you're the Asay B'yomai and the lav. I'm not so sure it's that pashut, but I had a difficult time finding too much source about it. To my knowledge, I went through the Mr. Brewer's Perek and Avas Chesed, that I don't believe seeing any reference to Goy, the yes or no. I don't think he talks about Goy, which is somewhat strange, but I can't say for sure that I didn't see it, but I'm pretty sure I didn't see where he mentions anything about a Goy, so we'll have to see the issue of a Goy. Just to mention, for doctors, if anyone's mesupik whether or not a doctor counts, again, the most classic example of a worker would be someone who comes to your house to do something, a plumber, electrician, a tailor, a haircut. Any job where you're hiring someone to do something. Now, the truth is, it's not only hiring someone to do something. If I hire, or let's say, for example, I rent an instrument, or I rent a electronic device from you, that's also, I'm renting, I'm a poil, I'm working that, and I owe it to you as well. Leases on property is somewhat complicated. I don't know if we'll have enough time to talk about it today, but that's also a big shayla. When you lease property, that's also considered that you have to pay on time as well. It gets a little tricky with leases and things like that. But what about doctors?
Even though it's not your worker,
the law is not by worker. So the shayla is it even on karka? So that's a shayla if it's even on karka. That's shayla in Pais can talk about in the beginning of Sin Shalom
Ates. It may not apply to you.
Again, doesn't matter. Mr. Bruja said it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if the guy could be the wealthiest guy in the world. If you don't pay him, you're over. So the Avnei Yeshva quotes over here about doctors. He says, "Gam reifim mashem le'ba'arapula." Doctors must be paid when the job is over. Now again, Most doctors have big signs. Copays are due when you check in. So there's nothing to talk about. That's where they make up. Now, if the doctor tells you it's okay, I'm going to waive and I'll give you 3 weeks to make the copay, fine. That's the doctor's right to do it. But unless the doctor says otherwise, you owe the doctor money. Again, if he writes on top, money due before, then you owe him before. If he doesn't write that, then you owe the money at the end of the visit. Whatever he does for you, that's when you owe him the money. If you decide to skip on that, that would be a issur of not paying on time. Says the Avnei Yeshiv, Avshu Noisim Trufos Mirashim. I'm not really sure why he thinks of me. He has this argument because he gives you medication. It's a different type of worker. But I don't know why that would matter in Lumdus. Maybe he would view doctors as more like a buying and selling. Like you're getting goods from him. He's not your worker. Again, this lav doesn't apply if I don't pay my bill in the grocery store. He's not my worker. That's a chayv that I have to. That's a regular chayv. So maybe the doctor is not, you don't look at it as the doctor is working for you. He's giving you goods by giving you medication. Says the Avnei Yeshiv, no, it's not the lumdus of a doctor. The doctor is, he's working for you. He's treating you, giving you what you need to make you better. It's the action. Even though there's a business element to it. Again, you can argue maybe a plumber is also doing that. He's giving you new parts and installing them into your house, and now you have new parts. The answer is no. It's the action that he's doing for you, that he's working on your behalf. So he says it's pasha to him. Avodav is a nifra. He thinks the medicine is separate. A doctor would be included in loisal. Okay. So doctor's included as well.
So the credit card payment?
So that's a big question. Is even before credit card, what about checks? Are checks really a fulfillment of payment? So the question is, we talked about checks a couple times when we came across in the sugya of, let's say, Matanos Levyonim, and things like that. We talked about checks. So it might depend on, A, the type of check, and it might depend on the situation. Some Achronim held if it's a third-party check, which means you can easily use it for something else, so that's mamish cash. They quote B'Shem Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe held that if it's a regular check that you need at the bank and the bank is closed, that's not considered a tashlumin. Now, what one could argue is today the accepted is, let's say, for example, when someone comes to your house to do something, they're expecting to get paid in a check. They don't think you're going to come out with $500 cash and pay them. So today, every worker is maskim to get, again, not except for a barber. You pay the barber with a check, he's going to laugh at you. He's expecting cash. Anything else, even though some barbers do take credit cards, but the assumption is they want cash. Or taxi drivers, those types of guys, they want cash. There's a shaila is if I pay my worker, let's say, for example, I pay my electrician with a check, so I'm not overly sullen because he agreed to take the check. Am I yoytze the mitzvah b'yayim titin? So although he waived the rights to cash, could be that just takes off the lav. It doesn't necessarily fix the mitzvah b'yayim titin. That's a shaila that the Echreinim talk about. But again, I think today... It could be that that's totally... So that's the question. Today, in certain areas of jobs, that's the accepted way of paying. That's the, again, it's in itself has no value, that we know. Right, a check is glorified Shava Pruta, but because Shava Kesef, but because this is the way we make payments in the world, everyone gets paid. Like very few people get paid in cash today, right? And if they're getting paid in cash, there's usually questions going on about taxes and things like that. Most people get paid today in a check. That's just the standard way of making payments. So it could be today already. It would be a fulfillment of B'yom HaTitin. That's already a shaila. What about goyim? Okay, so how about we paid all our Jewish workers on time and we didn't even have to worry about it? But it's a shaila for goyim as well. So there's a Mishnah in Bam Metzia, Taf Kufir Alf. Those are the two blot over there, Kufir Alf, Kufyut, Kufir Alf. That's where the Gemara in Bam Metzia discusses the whole sugya of Lo Yisolin. So the Mishnah says like this, Ger Toishav, if you have a Ger Toishav, Yesh Ba Mishum B'yom Metitin, you do have the positive commandment to pay him on time, Ve'im Ba Mishum Lo Yisolin Pula Sachir Itchad Baikir. But you don't have the lav of paying him late. Why the Gemara explains? Because Itcha is a riboy. Not he's not one of yours. Therefore, there's no lav, but there's still an asay. Now this is a ger toishav. This is not a regular guy. This is a ger toishav. What's a ger toishav? So Rashi writes, "Over here, shekibla lov shloi lavet avoy dezara." He was mekabel upon himself not to be oyved avoy dezara. V'achan aviyas treifus. Okay, this Rashi is so much shver because in other places Rashi doesn't use that gather. It's just normally assumed the ger toishav is mekabel either not to avoy dezara and or mekabel zayim mitzvah b'neinah. Okay, so we know that a ger toishav is not included in the lav, but he is included in aseh. What's interesting is if you look in the Rosh and the Riff and Bar Metzia, they bring down this Gemara Kipshutai, that a Ger Toishev has the aseh, but not the lav. While in Torah and Shulchan Aruch, you will not find this halacha mentioned. And the Minchas Chinuch, Mitzvah Reish Lam, it asks, he says, why isn't it brought down in Shulchan Aruch? Because he says, it's not Negev Bezman, we don't have a Ger Toishev today. Ger Toishev only works when you have a, when Yovel is Noig, Yovel is not Noig. So Minchas Chinuch says, okay, that's so Gishmak, so why does the Russian Rif bring it down? They also only bring down Sugis that are relevant in halacha. So he leaves off with a kasha to why it's brought down by some Rishayim and not by other Rishayim. Now, how does this translate to a guy? So the Rambam, it says, for HaMitzvah writes very clearly, in Mitzvah Reish, writes the Rambam, what's the mitzvah? Shetzivonu lo se skarsoche b'yoyma, you're supposed to pay on time. V'lo ye'acher oisele ye'macher, don't delay it. V'u omru yisala b'yoyma titin schare. V'din mitzvah shi yisoche yoyim goyva kol alayla. V'zach alayla goyva kol yoyim. We'll talk about the details a little bit. He writes, v'kai esbaru b'shpitei mitzvah zu perek tez ba mitzvah. This is all described in the ninth perek of ba mitzvah. V'sham esbaru shi zem eschui b'chol soche yoyim. Bein b'nochri, bein b'yisrael. Says Rambam clearly. There it's explained that's for all workers, Jewish worker, non-Jewish worker, illegal, legal, whatever it is, documented, not documented, right? Doesn't matter, says the Rambam. They're all included in the mitzvahs aseh. Not in the law, but in the mitzvahs aseh. That's the end of the Rambam. So according to the Rambam, as Rabbi Leibowitz pointed out, it's very clear. The Rambam writes mefurish. Goyim are included in the aseh part. Which means, if you hire a worker, let's say, for example, a cleaning lady. You hire a cleaning lady to work from 9 to 5, so then the halacha is you got to pay her at least 9 to 5, depending on what time of the year it is, we'll talk the details, you have to pay her on time. If you don't pay her on time, you tell her, I'll pay you tomorrow, I'll pay you next time you come. So you're not overloy solin, but you would lose out on a mitzvah, as I say, b'yoy metit, at least according to the Rambam. What's interesting about the Rambam is it's quoted the same way in the Sefer HaChinuch. In the Sefer HaChinuch in Parshas Kedoshim, he quotes this Rambam, where he writes that by Ger Toishev you have the mitzvah of B'yom Titein, Aval Ein Oivim B'Bishum Baton, but there's no lav. V'zeh Adin the Ger Toishev, that's what it is by Ger Toishev. The Kass of Rambam, Zechon L'Vrach, Adu Adin the Ben Noyach. And the Rambam holds the same thing for a guy. So the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam both seem to be, at least the Sefer HaChinuch says that's what the Rambam holds, that you are in the mitzvah Saseh B'yom Titein. There's only one problem. When the Rambam in Yara Chazaka, when he brings down this din, he only brings it down by Ger Toishev. He does not bring it down by a goy. So it's almost a stira in the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he implies there it's true for a goy. When in Yara Chazaka, it sounds like it's only a Ger Toishev and not a goy. So it's almost a stira in the Rambam. So there's a tshuva from over here from the Sefer Shevet HaKahasi, from the, I believe his name is Rabbi Gross. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. So he quotes over here from the Belzer Rebbe. He said that the Belzer Rebbe was always makpid to pay his goyish workers on time. Someone once asked the Rebbe, hey, what's happened? Why is the Rebbe so makbet to pay on time with the goyim? Is there really baltolin on a goy? The Rebbe's answer was, it's not so posh that there's no lav by a goy. Now, I don't really understand. He says, "Vinshalti b'yer dvarim." I don't understand. We said that, first of all, by Ger Toishev, Ger Toishev doesn't have the lav. Ger Toishev doesn't have a lav. But Goy, whoever said anything about a Goy, where would the Goy work his way in? So he didn't understand exactly what the Rebbe meant. I would argue, could be, again, I don't know too much about Rebbe Shemaisach, but could be the Rebbe meant as Chil Hashem. Maybe it's nothing to do with Bal Tolin. It's just not a good idea to pay Goyish workers at the time. It's not good for it's kiddush. Forget the Asei B'Yomitin, you can be Mekayim Kiddush Hashem. It's also a big mitzvah. Paying your workers on time is a Kiddush Hashem. But he goes on to quote from others. He quotes from Sefer Yisod Yosef, Shaharich B'Techochos Musar, because of the Av L'Pol Akum Yakbul L'Shalom B'Zmanay, Shum Shaloi Yechil Hashem Chas V'Shal. He says also, it shouldn't be a Chil Hashem. Maybe it's not B'Yomititin, maybe it's not Lo Solom, but it's definitely a chance to be Mekayim Shem Shemai. In his Sefer Minchas Chein, he also a little bit references this Shaila. On number 14, he writes, quotes in the Sefer Kava Yosher, who says that a koivish schar sochir, if a person holds back payment, which means you don't pay your goyish work, you tell him I'm not paying him, koivish schar sochir, which is a different prohibition, afilu shol akum gamkin oin shoy godul moit. It's a very severe punishment, even for a goy. Then he quotes a Meiri in Bamitzia that says, "Delaholin tschar hanochi bekavon kedei laoishkoi." If you hold back wages, payments on purpose, osur. Then he quotes from the Sefer Shalshuvas Chut Hamisholish, which is written by Reb Chaim Velozhina, who said, "The bekoivish chasocha shal akim yesh isa deraisa." If you hold back payments, he doesn't say directly about delaying payments. So, to my knowledge, I wasn't zeicher to find too much information. Rabbi Leibowitz says for Davar Pashut, it is true for a guy. I wasn't able to find too many sources that backed it up with certainty, besides for the Rambam that he mentioned, but the Rambam is a stira, because the Rambam Yad HaChazaka Paschal is not like that. So again, halach l'maisa, it might be a suffix deraisa, it might be kedari b'machmir, but again, if let's say a person has a choice to either pay his goyish worker or pay the Jewish worker, I think that's Pashti. You'd have to pay the Jewish worker first, because you vada have an Isser. Depending if there's Chol Hashem, Ein Achrami. You have to know what the background story is. Ein Achrami, you'd have to know. Again, I think in many yeshivas it goes backwards. In the yeshivas, they pay the English teachers before they pay the rabbeim. So there it goes the other way around. But again, I'm not so sure exactly Allah Chalamai. So Moshe Shtemich has a tshuva, in tshuva Sanagas, which I completely don't understand. He talks about, what about a mummer? Right, let's you hire a non-religious Jew. What's his status? So he also references Goy, and it's not clear to me in the tshuva where he stood about Goy. It sounded like he thought that a Goy is for sure not included. The question is, what's the status of a mummer? That's a topic we discussed many times here. What's a mummer? Is he yes like a Goy, not like a Goy? So it's not clear to me exactly how he understood it. He also talks about there's two types of mummer. There's a Tinuk Shenishma type of mummer. The kid was raised not religious. What do you want from his life? He didn't know anything about Judaism. Versus someone who was taught about Judaism, went off. So he discusses that also in Tshuvas Van Hagas. Okay. So that's what we're going to have to see. When the question is, when is payment due? So for most jobs, payment is due when the job is done.
Yeah, but once you pass that,
once you pass that, we're going to see that right now. Once you pass that, you're not over the lav anymore, but you're still going to be over nisid rabban. There's a nisid rabban about delaying payment that's due. That you're going to be over every single day until you finally pay up. But the lav of loisalon is a one-time thing. A person can't be over loisalon 12 times. A person's over loisalon once. Again, it's a lav. You're over it once, you're not over it many times.
If the worker says, you know, let's say he's going to work 2-3 days, and each day he finishes the work, he says, just pay me, you know, I'll start on Monday, you'll pay me on everything on Wednesday. Are you still Makayim?
When do you pay him?
So he says, I'm going to...
You prepay him?
Monday through Wednesday, I'll pay. He says to you, give me everything at the end. Are you still
Makayim
in the Yasin?
Yeah, yeah.
So some work each one of those.
No, the job, the Chiv only starts when the job ends. So if it's an extended job, it's an extended job. There is an interesting Machloekes Achronim about prepaying. Would prepaying work for anything? So they quote in the name of Rabbi Yashiv, it's more negay, let's say for some jobs you want to prepay. It might be you're not even Makayim the Mitzvah yet, because the Mitzvah only starts when there's a Chiv. The Chiv didn't start yet. So they talk about, let's say, in a cab. You want to pay the cab driver before he finishes getting you there. Let's say he tells you it's going to cost you $20. So you give him the $20 up front. Well, let's say a worker, he says, listen, I look at the job is going to be $500. It's going to take me a week. So let me pay you now. So according to Rabbi Yashiv, you're not Mekayim anything. You have to wait till the end of the week, pay him on time, take that $500 and save it. And when he finishes the job, pay him right then and there, then you'll be Mekayim a mitzvah to say the rest. Others disagree. They think that that's very hard to believe. If the whole idea is for the worker's benefit, ain lecha benefit g'day l'mazur, pay him early. Every worker's dream is to get paid early. So that's a little bit of a machlekes achrayim. Does it help to prepay workers or not? But clearly the eschaiva starts when the job concludes. So if the job takes a while, then the job's not over yet. So it's one long job.
Contractors on large jobs will ask for a certain amount up front before they even start. Are they allowed to do that?
They could do it again. If that's what they're going to ask, then you have to pay it. And you can say, no, I'm not interested. I only want to pay at the end. You can debate that, but if that's the deal they make up, you have to abide by that deal. If you agree to it, you can say, I don't agree. So then that's it. But whatever deal you agree to, that you're going to get yourself locked in. So what are some of the excuses for why you don't have to pay on time? So some of them excuses are real excuses. The Gemara in Bar Metzia gives the two very common and somewhat used often excuse. One excuse is, the Gemara says it's only if the worker requests payment. If he doesn't request the payment, I can pay him whenever I want. This whole din of b'yoyim etit is if he requests it, and then I blow him off. If he never requests it, it doesn't exist. That's one heter, which we'll have to get into the details of. These old Gemara makes drushes for it. And the second heter is if you don't have the money. B'yoyim etit is if you have the money and you're not giving it to him. If I push it, don't have the money to pay you, I'm not over the lav of loisal. That's the words of the Gemara. So let's see how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the number 16, says the Mechaber in Cheshimitzu Simen Shin Lametes, Ein bal abayis oiv mishon bal tolin, ela im kein tavua hasochir, unless the worker asks for it. He has to make a tavia. He has to ask you to be paid. Loi tavo, if he doesn't ask, oisha tavu v'loi hoi lamois. He's like, he comes to me and says, listen buddy, I'm broke. I'd love to pay you. I don't have any money. Then, says the Mechaber, you're not over the lav. Okay, you're not over the lav. The truth is the Peschei Tshuva brings from Mazar HaKadosh that although technically not over the lav, this is not like the right thing to do either. There's also not a good thing to do to find yourself in a situation where you say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any money, and therefore I feel that I can sleep innocent tonight, I'm not doing anything wrong. It's also not so kosher to do so, but technically the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you're okay.
If you don't have the money, and then before you
Ah, that's what the Mishnah Berurah goes to town about. You didn't have the money, but yesterday you bought a million things and you did all these big businesses. Now you don't have the money. Was that correct? We're going to see the Mishnah Berurah is going to basically, what the Mishnah Berurah is going to do is basically going to tell us that this heter kamat is never negay. Very really, does a person really have no money when it comes time to payment? It means you don't want to use the money. We'll see how far it goes. So first of all, Rav Moshe Sternberg points out, he says, what does this mean where you have to have a teviyah from the worker? What does that mean? So he writes, he says it's worth mentioning what's very popular. What happens? The boss tells the worker, is it okay if I pay you tomorrow? And what happens? What's the worker supposed to say? So he says, yes. He has no choice. You think, I was mekayim the Shulchan Aruch. I got him to agree. No tviya. It's not true. He says, "V'dafka mishalein aboy v'zeh." How's the proper way of saying it? Zechuscha lekabel hayoyim. Well, you're supposed to tell the workers, like, listen, you should know. Maker din, I have to pay you right now. V'ani muchel lekach, and I'm ready. I have the money. Rakim tirtzalim choli matoy. I'd really be appreciative if you don't demand it today and give it to me tomorrow. Very few people do that with their workers. That's not the way it goes down. They basically say, you have to understand, I don't have the money. Is that okay? I just need you to sign up because I have to be able to justify this. I need you to say yes. So the guy says yes, and he goes back home and tells his wife, this guy's the worst guy in the world. You're not yet saying anything. The work, the Baal Bais is still going to be carrying a lot. So he says, let's say the worker doesn't know any better. He doesn't know when he's supposed to get paid. He doesn't know that he has a right to mon you in Bezin to get paid. He has to know his rights to waive his rights. If he doesn't know what his rights are, then the whole thing is a game. So points out Moshe Sternberg. He says, let's say there's another case. This happens a lot when you do work in people's house. The Baal Bais is not around when the job is over. They go well. Now you work for 3-4 hours in the house and no one's home now. So today we have phones, it's a little easier. So you're not teveya it because you can't find the guy to be teveya him. So you'll say, well, but he was never teveya. And Moshe Sternberg thinks that's not correct. He thinks, in number 18, he says, the reason why I'm not money is because I can't find you. You're nowhere to be found. So that's a teviya, yeah. That's a teviya. 100%. That's a teviya. Or if you leave a text message, an email, say, listen, job is done, the bill is due as of this. But let's say we're talking about a case where there's no one around, no one to get in touch with. So yes, you're not teviya because it's impossible. That's also not a raya. The whole idea of not being teviya is because it's a mechila. It's not a mechila if it's not a raya, but the fact that I can't find you. So therefore, that heter is also going to be very, very weak. What about the next heter of the mechaber where you have no money? Comes along the Mishnah Berurah Navas Ches, and he writes like this. Let's say you have no money. Your pockets are empty. But you have a pikadin, a halva itzalacher. But someone borrowed something from you that's worth money. Or someone owes you money. You can easily get your hands on money. Paskas Mishnah Berurah number 19. Mikri gamkin sheyeshitcha. That means you have money. Dari yochel ikach mehem. You can get it. If you have anything in your house that has value, that you can sell, gamkin b'chlal itcha. That's also included that you have money. So I'm saying everyone in the world has something they can sell. Right? Everyone has an iPhone, right? Everyone has something. So for a person to tell his worker, I'm sorry, I don't have any money to pay you, according to the Mishnah Berurah, it's not true. Of course you do. You don't have cash, you can take whatever you have, sell it, turn around and get me money. You have. You're not the case of the Gemara. Tere yochel moichoi. V'cheimash b'sefer achinich mitzah tovkov peches. V'nira, paskas Mishnah Berurah. Dim yochel ahasig mois l'uvois. Let's say you can borrow money. Until now we talked about either collecting money that's really yours or selling something. Now we're going to a more extreme level. You're going to actually go out and borrow money. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you have to do that. Kedei sheyochel lekayim mitzvah saseh d'biyoyim etitin tzchar. So you should be able to mekayim the mitzvah saseh d'biyoyim etitin. Ubefrat em asocher oni. Specifically if the person needs the money. If he's going to be broke and he's not going to be able to pay his bills and he's not going to be able to buy groceries. Bevadei tzarech lasis kein. Big chiddush from the Mishnah Berurah. Not only do you have to sell something that you have, again, if a person has any savings, he's got to go to the bank, empty the savings, and pay the worker. To say you have no money, for most people, is not really true today. Again, the times of the Gemara, a person had whatever they had. That was it. Savings, what was savings? It was under the mattress. That's all they had. Today, people have assets. A guy says, I don't have any cash. But you own a building, so sell the building and give me the money. Oh, so that's what you got to do. You owe me the money. You got to figure out a way to get me the money. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't think that too many excuses of I don't have the money is a valid excuse. Now, Mishnah Berurah has to defend himself. Where did he learn that you have to go out and go into debt for this? So he quotes a very interesting Gemara Menachas. The Gemara Menachas tells us with Rav Ketina and Amalach that what happened over there was is that the people weren't wearing dalet, weren't wearing a baggage of dalet kanfas. And they were all fatayinit. You're circumventing a mitzvah. See, I'm not circumventing anything. The mitzvah is if I have a baggage of dalet kanfas, then I have to put on tzitzis. If I'm not wearing a baggage of dalet kanfas, I don't have to wear tzitzis. What are you all fatayinit? So he told him, that's not the way it works. Kosh Baruch is going to fatayinit you that you are circumventing mitzvahs. You're looking for loopholes not to do mitzvahs. So after Chafetz Chaim, what do you see from there? That although technically there's no mitzvah of paying him when you don't have the money, but you should look for ways to find the mitzvah. Don't say, oh, I'm exempt, I can go, I can sleep easy at night. Not true. You have to look for ways, find ways to get yourself in a mitzvah. Now, this Gemara needs a lot of explanation because it gets very tricky how to use this Gemara. Rabbi Zilberstein has a tshuva in Chashuk Yechemer where he thinks that there's a problem in Klai, so people don't like to bench. No one likes to bench in Klai Yisrael. That's why they don't wash, they don't bench. Everything is mizaynus. We have benching-itis. So he thinks that if a person decides that instead of eating a bagel for breakfast, I'm going to eat, you know, cookies and cakes because I don't want to bench, he thinks that's not right based on this Gemara. The Gemara says you're not supposed to circumvent mitzvahs, and I'm only eating the cookies and the cakes, not because I like them better, just because I don't want to bench. So he thinks that's a breach in this Gemara. It gets a little tricky to exactly what the gedarim to this are. You know, when exactly is a person in involved in this gemara or not? But that's the Chofetz Chaim's raya from this gemara that you have to go so far. Rav Moshe Shteinbach does not agree. He thinks that's way too far. He thinks it doesn't make any sense. You don't have to spend money on mitzvahs, really. So how here I have to go out of my way, borrow money, probably have to pay some form of interest on it. He thinks that's too much. But the Chofetz Chaim passes the way he does. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Lubavitch Rebbe writes, it's midas chasidus. He thinks it's right to do, although you don't have to. He thinks it's proper to make sure that you have money available. The Mr. Brewer does paskin that you do have to spend a little money. Let's say, for example, to get exact change or to break down a coin, you'd have to spend a little money. Which is why I think, let's say, for example, the ATM case. Let's say, for example, a person realizes he owes his babysitter money and he doesn't have any cash. So what does he tell the babysitter? Oh, I'm sorry, I'll pay you tomorrow. No, what he should do is go to an ATM machine, have to pay a fee of whatever it is, and that's what he has to do. Because if not, he's going to be over possibly a lav and I say. They quote in number 22, they quote a famous line from the Arizal, that the Arizal was very makbid, that he would not daven before he paid his workers. And that makes a lot of sense, especially if you hold davening only to Rabbanon, and this is a deraisa, it makes a lot of sense that a person should do this before he davens. His cheshbon was, is that, Eich espal Hashem Yisbarach, ba mitzvah gedoy l'kizuv alayi kemenu. How do I have the chutzpah to go daven to Kodesh Baruch when I have a huge mitzvah sitting here that I'm not doing? He couldn't do it. Many times I've heard people tell me this at work, that they have to go daven in the middle of work. Yeah, that's if you have the right to go daven or take care of davening when you're supposed to. If you're doing something incorrectly by davening because you have other things you should be taking care of, you have to daven at a different time. You have to remake your schedule better. Your time is not necessarily yours. You have to make sure that that's right. He does quote from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that holds it's midas chasidus to even borrow money to pay your worker, but it sounds like it's not obligatory. But that's something that we could debate whether or not you have to go borrow money, but I think it's possible that Mr. Brewer would tell you that you definitely would have to go and occur a small fee, let's say like an ATM fee, that you would have to in order to pay a worker on time. Okay, so let's just talk very bekitzo. What exactly is the time frames for this prohibition? So it really depends on when the job ends. For example, if let's say, for example, I hire someone to come to my house to work and he works from 9 to 3, so he finishes at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so I have to pay him before nightfall of that day. So I have whatever it is, 2-3 hours to get the payment done before nightfall, before shkia of that day. That would be, that's biyom, that's day. Let's say, for example, it's a night job. So let's say, for example, it's in the winter, and he works the night. He works till 6:30 at night. So then I have all till the next morning to pay him. So if I want to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and run over to his house and pay him, terrific. I'd be fulfilled the mitzvah asay. I would not be over the lav. Let's say, for example, let's say the babysitter case. Let's say, for example, I have a babysitter who comes in at my house from 6 to 10 p.m. And then I say, you know, I'll pay you tomorrow. What's tomorrow? I pay her 9 o'clock in the morning. That's not right. That I lost at an assay, and I might have been over a lot. I'd have to pay it before I lose the shachar the next morning. That's how it works.
So the day starts at night. You should have shkia.
No, you have one oina. You have one set of hours. So if let's say, for example, it's at night, then I'd have to pay her before the next sunrise. So with a babysitter, it gets a little tricky.
6.5 degrees or 8.5
Yeah. So I wanted to have some zman relation, so I just put on the last page where the Mr. Brewer discusses, is it seis? Is it ben hashmoshes? So to be machmir mistam, you should pay him before shkia. This way you don't run into any issues. So that's the time frame that you have to use. What about partial payment? Many people say, well, the bill is $500 and it's due today. I'll pay you half. Does that work? So Mr. Brewer writes on the last page, number 23, Mr. Brewer writes in 25, he writes, I was chazit sorakli zel haskir bizmani, kol mash megi aloi. Full payment is due. This partial payment doesn't work. Im yeshloi. Again, if you have, which according to the Mr. Brewer, you almost always should have. You borrow, you get, you have. Im loy hishlim. And if you don't have, says the Mr. Brewer, let's say you don't have. Im loy hishlim, loy kol schari, oyve bebal tolin, al zeh hamiksa shepichas loy. You will be over the lav on the part that you don't pay him. So you say to yourself, okay, if I can't make full payment, I won't make any payment. Says the Mishnah, no, pay him whatever you have, give it. So very tricky. This partial payment stuff really does not work. You really have to pay up the entire chayv, whatever is due at that time. So Moshe Shtermach says, he doesn't understand why people will say, oh, I don't have what to pay. Pay whatever you have. Make partial payment. It's clear from the Mishnah Berurah that partial payment is better than nothing. So if let's say, for example, the bill is so give a little bit. Give $25. People say, I have nothing. Give whatever you have. It'll be a little bit of a fulfillment of making the payment. So writes Reb Moshe Shtermach. So the Mishnah Berurah says the Chafetz Chaim, he says, people have to be very careful not to say to themselves, well, comes payday, I don't have any money anymore. I used up all the money for everything else, and I don't have any money. Writes to Mr. Brewer, number 27, he says, after the worker finishes, you better be careful, you better not use your money for anything else. If you know you only have $200 left and you owe him $200, don't decide to go shopping now for groceries. That's not right. Even if he hasn't yet asked for the money. The koshkin lahoitzim ma'osav l'schayr achashetvo. Even worse, if after the guy says, okay, pay me, you say, ah, I'm about to make a huge deposit, I'm about to make a huge business deal. That's incorrect. Debevadai osir, says the Mishnah Berurah, it's osir, and you'd be over b'yoy me'titain, and he writes, v'churroi l'chol ben das lishmer atzim. Any logical person has to be careful. Afilu kredim shenish lampul asasach. One of the loopholes that people do use is a Gemara as well, where the Gemara says, if you are the boss, and you're the one who makes the paychecks, but you were not the one who hired the workers. Someone else hired the workers. You sent a shliach to hire the workers. Then technically, no one would be over the iser. The one who hired the workers is not the one achray for the payment, and the one who's achray for the payment never hired the workers. So neither one would be over, and everyone would be safe. So that's what a lot of yeshivas are saying. What are they saying? The yeshivas are saying two things. They're saying, A, they assume that you're meichel. You're getting it to chinuch. You know you're not going to get paid on time. That's a given. So it's ki'ilu you're not today. You know. Don't expect your check until the yeshiva is nice enough to give it to you. That's one cheshbon. The other cheshbon, the same mechan, is who hires the rabbeim, the principal. The principal is not achroi for salary. That's the executive director, whoever it is. So no one's ever loisalim. The principal is not achroi for checks, depending on the yeshiva. Some yeshivas, the principals have more say about money than people like to believe. If the principal is involved in the money, it becomes a shaila. In some yeshivas, it's the principal just does the chinuch and the money's not his job. In many yeshivas, those two jobs get somewhat combined, where the principal decides salary, decides who gets raises and who gets bonuses. So then you are shtickle involved in the money. So then maybe you would be. But let's say, for example, you have a manager in your office. The manager has nothing to do with salary. His job is to hire workers. And he deals with the workers. Then in that case, you would not be overly solid. The manager wouldn't be overly solid. The other chap is if you're a corporation. Who owns the corporation? What's the corporation? So many yeshivas are saying on this, they use this for ribbis and other things. Who's the yeshiva? What's the yeshiva? The yeshiva is a corporation. Who do you want among the corporation? The Rosh Yeshiva, the Rebbeim? So therefore, this is the way they can get around some of the yisurim of B'yomititim, because there's no boss over here. The shareholder is definitely not involved, and the boss is, who's the boss? The CEO, there is no. And therefore, this is how they get around it. Halacha l'maisa, best case scenario, pay everyone on time, do what you're supposed to, fulfill an easy mitzvah, say, de'ai reis.